Book of Jonah, chapter number one tonight. We began last Sunday night with this thought on Jonah and want to continue with it tonight. Jonah is a well of a lesson in obedience and how we need to learn how to just simply obey the Lord. Let Him lead us and guide us. Last week we looked at Jonah chapter 1, the entire chapter, and we're going to pick up there with the very last verse of chapter 1 and verse 17 and read through the end of chapter 2 tonight to bring our second thought on this book of Jonah. One of the most disputed and disbelieved books in the Bible because of the content of it. It tells the story of a whale swallowing a man. And those intellectuals that live by sight and live by science cannot believe it. But if you live by faith, you believe, even if God said that Jonah swallowed the whale, you'd believe it. Amen. And if you will, let's stand just for a moment, give you the opportunity just to kind of stretch your legs. And we'll begin in verse 17 of chapter 1, read through verse number 10, and bring our second thought out of the book of Jonah for you tonight. Now, you pray for me as I preach this. God has so given this to me that I do not want to detract from it very far. I want to give you exactly what God, the way God has given it me, so that it will benefit your life. And I pray that God would use this message in all of our lives tonight. Because no matter where you're at, Old Testament, New Testament, it does not matter. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. There's profit in this book. So, Jonah chapter number 1, verse number 17 tonight. It said, now, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me out of the belly of hell. Cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Father, tonight, Lord, as we come to this portion of this service, I'm thankful for what our hearts have already experienced, Lord, just the good singing of the good songs of God. I'm thankful, Lord, for the hearts of the people that are here tonight, hearts, Lord, that are desirous of You. And I'm asking, dear God, that for a little while You'd let us camp ourselves out around the good Word of God. Receive what we all need tonight, Lord, from You. Lord, this one has that need. This one has another need. But God, You're the God who can meet all needs of every one of us tonight. So, Lord, by the Word of God, speak. And, Lord God, move in all of our lives. And may the good will of God be accomplished in all of us tonight. We love you. We thank you and praise you, Father, for being the gracious God that you are. And Lord, one more time with these earthen lips of clay, I want to say, Lord, I love you. And I thank you so much from the depths of my heart. Thank you for loving me. Now, God, have your will and way accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Last Sunday night, we looked out of Jonah chapter 1, and we considered the sending of Jonah. God had something in his heart. He had a people in his heart. And he wanted to send a man of God to those people to preach the bidding of God to them. And aren't you glad tonight that God has you in his heart? And God uses people. He uses preachers. He uses Christians. He uses us all to speak the Word of God to other people. And God used, he wanted to use the life of Jonah to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was a great city. We looked at that and considered this great city by the name of Nineveh. It was a great city for many reasons, but one of the great things about it was the great wickedness they were living in. And God's solution to the problem was to send a man. And that's God's solution to all of our problems, is he sends a man. And the man that he sent to all of us was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Oh, I'm feeling something tonight. He sent Jesus Christ for us all. And I'm glad that he did tonight. I'm glad that he was the solution to our problems. But now in our story, Jonah has decided that he was going to run from the presence of God. And he does. He begins his journey away from the presence of God. You remember that we preached to you that in Jonah's disobedience, he found out that it cost to try to run from God. He paid the fare thereof. He was the one that had to pay his way in his journey away from God. He paid his fare and he got on a ship and he went unto Tarshish away from God. And you know how God sent a tempestuous wind. The seas became tempestuous to all of those that were in that ship. And they began wondering, why is this going on? Why are we in this storm? They began trying to cast out the wares of the ship and lighten the ship. They just knew maybe if we got rid of some of the stuff on board, we'd be all right. Jonah was fast asleep in the bottom of the ship, and he came up whenever the ship began rocking. He came up and they looked at him and they said, what's the reason for this storm? And Jonah said, I'm the reason. And the men took Jonah finally and threw him into the sea. And Jonah began his journey into the school of God. It was not a man-made lifeboat that he got in that day. It was a God-made lifeboat. It was a lifeboat that, like, none of us in this room would ever pick out this whale for a lifeboat. But Jonah entered the school of God, and that's what I'm wanting to preach on for just a little while tonight. We looked at the sending of Jonah, but now we want to look at the school of Jonah. You say, well, why would God need to send any of us to school? Well, number one, God is smarter than we are. Can I get a witness right there? In the book of Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9 says it like this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's ways are just far beyond any of us in this room tonight. And God could send any of us. Matter of fact, He does send all of us to His school. Why would God send anyone to His school? Number one, because God is smarter than us. Number two, He would send us to school because God wants to use every one of our lives, but those He uses will go through His school. You can just mark it down that if God is going to use your life to any capacity, it does not matter what it is in His kingdom, God is going to put you in His school. Why would God send any man to school? Because God wants us to train us to do His job right. He wants us to do what we do for Him the right way. Not our ways, not the way we want to do it, but God wants to use us in the right way. And another reason that God would send any one of us to school, and this is the most important part of it, is so that we might learn about Him. You see, Jonah thought he had God figured out. Jonah thought he could run from God. Jonah thought he could get away from the presence of God. But God had to teach Jonah something about himself. And I want us to consider this school of Jonah tonight. Number one, I want us to think about the resource of God. Here was this well. Can you imagine Jonah hitting that water? And when he went into that water, all of a sudden the sea ceased its raging and there was a great calm. And I can see Jonah as he's doing the backstroke and he's out there in that ocean and he's thinking, man, this is a good life. I've got it made. And maybe he gets tired and he turns over and begins dog paddling. And he's looking for some land. And there is no land anywhere around. And on the horizon, he sees this hump of a monstrous-looking being begin making its way toward Jonah. Jonah did not know what God was up to, but God knew what God was up to. He sent a whale, and that whale swallowed up Jonah's life. And God can use anything in any of our lives as a lesson or as a school in our lives. I want to remind you that He used a donkey in the life of Balaam. Balaam was one that was, he was a wayward prophet and he thought that he could just do things his own way, and it angered God against Balaam, and God used a donkey in Balaam's life. Balaam had ridden that donkey all of his life and he got on that little donkey, began making his journey and was on his way to go do things his own way. And the Bible says that the angel of the Lord stood in the way against Balaam. Balaam never saw the angel, but that donkey saw him. And it says that that donkey ran into a wall that was on one side and crushed the foot of Balaam. Balaam got mad at that donkey, began whipping that donkey, and he urged the donkey onward, and he did go onward. And the Bible says that then the angel went and stood in a narrow place. And when he got him in that narrow place, it said that the donkey saw the angel, but Balaam never saw him. And the donkey fell flat up under Balaam's being. And it hurt Balaam, and he began beating that donkey again. And it said that the Lord opened the mouth of that donkey. And that donkey began talking. I read that account and I get so tickled at my own self. That donkey began talking to Balaam, and Balaam began talking back to the donkey. And I get to thinking about how silly is that, but then I walk around the house talking to my dog all the time and he ain't said a word. And God, I'm just saying this, that God can use anything God wants to use in our lives as a school for our lives. He used the donkey in the life of a wayward prophet. But He used a rooster in the life of a disciple. A wandering disciple. A disciple that began following the Lord afar off.
And the Lord had told him, said, I want you to understand that I'm going to be betrayed tonight, and all of y'all are going to flee. And Peter raised his hand and he said, but Lord, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you, Lord. I'll go with you even unto death. And I believe Peter meant it with all of his heart. But Peter did not know what was in his own heart. And he saw what was going on, and it angered, it confused and angered Peter. And the Bible says that Peter began following the Lord afar off. He followed the Lord afar off, and next thing you know, he's a cussing just to prove to the crowd that he didn't belong to Jesus anymore. And about that time, the rooster crowed and spoke to Peter's heart, and it said that Peter went out and wept bitterly. He used a donkey. He used a rooster. And now he's using a whale in the life of this wayward prophet. This running prophet. This prophet that thought, I can outrun God. I can get away from God. I don't have to do what God wants me to do. I can do it my own way. I can run from God. I can go my own path. I can go to my own city. I can go where I want to go. I'm old enough. I've been in it long enough. I'll do what I want to do. And God sent a whale and put him in the school of God. God can use anything He wants to. And I wondered, I said, Lord, what is there about Jonah? I feel like I can identify with him. One scripture you read that Jonah is the servant of God. And then another scripture you read that Jonah is running from God. I looked up the name Jonah, and you know what it means? It means, and I've always heard and always preached that it means dove, and it does. It means dove. And a dove is gentle. But his name has a double dual meaning. His name means a dove, and then it means a destroyer. It's almost like Jonah has got a split personality. It's like he's a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It's like he's at one moment he's a dove and the next moment he's a destroyer. And I don't know about you, but I feel like that sometimes in my own life. I feel like sometimes I'm doing exactly the way God wants me to. I'm right where God wants me. But other times I get so rebellious in my heart. I get so wayward in my heart. And I have to confess the sin of just being wayward right here. It's not always just being wayward from church. We can be in church and be wayward from God in our heart. I'm weak. I confess this all the time. God, forgive me for my weakness. God, forgive me for my wickedness. But God, forgive me for my waywardness. I don't want to drift like I do at times. I get tired of myself at times. I get tired of just being me at times. And I need God. I need God every day of my life. I need God to touch me every day. I don't need His touch just behind a pulpit. I need it when I wake up in the morning, when I walk through the day, when I go to bed at night. I need God in my life, and so do all of we. We all need Him. God's using a whale now as a resource to school Jonah. The resource of God. But I want you to notice, number two, the reaction of God, of Jonah. Prayer became real to Jonah when he wound up in that whale. And you know, it's an amazing thing about prayer. I began thinking about prayer, and it's a sad reality, really, about prayer in our lives. And I don't know if you can relate to any of this, what I jotted down. But for some, as long as we think that we're in control and everything's okay, we won't really pray. Am I the only one that's like that? As long as it's just going fine and I've got the upper hand and it seems like I've got everything in my pocket like I want it, I don't really pray like I should. And then for some, they learn to live. They just simply learn to live with the hardships without prayer. I don't see how anybody could go through trouble and not reach out to God in prayer. But there's some that do. But then there are others that realize that we must pray. And I jotted something down. And sometimes God has to bring us to our knees to get us on our knees. Well, this just ain't really going that good tonight, is it? And sometimes God just has to bring us to our knees to get us on our knees. I've been having trouble with both my knees, but especially this left knee lately. Yesterday I barely could walk. I told Deb, it looks like I'm going to have to get a cane and start walking around with a cane. And I always love to kneel to pray. I always love to get on my knees when I go talk to Him. But sometimes it gets hard to get on this knee now. But I found out something about prayer. It's not a position of the knees. It's a position of your heart. And for us to really pray like we ought to pray, sometimes God just has to send us to school. So we'll pray like we ought to pray. And sometimes God has to bring a well into our life. And we get to thinking, I'm swallowed up with this situation. I'm swallowed up, God. And there's no way. Then we feel like we can't reach heaven. But it's sometimes in that school of the well that we really learn how to pray as we should. Jonah was down in that well and it said that he began to pray. I read this in Psalm 119, verse 67. It says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. And then again in verse number 71, it said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. We, none of us ever love the thought of being afflicted. None of us like the thought of being swallowed up by a whale. But sometimes when we get swallowed up by situations of life and the things of life that we think have just overcome us, that's God putting us in His school to teach us to pray. Jonah's in this well. I always get this messed up. Sometimes I say the bell of a welly, and I get all tongue-tied with this. So I just talk about the well. But you know, God puts us, afflicts us, and puts us in a belly of a whale so that we become more real with the Lord. I don't believe God's into this shallow Christianity that we're having presented to us today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I love you, you love me. Let's everybody kiss each other. I just don't believe that that's the real Christianity that God's interested in. I don't believe that's got anything to do with Jesus Christ. I believe there's more substance to Jesus. I believe there's just more to knowing God than being able to put on a show. I believe God has got a real life for us to live. And sometimes He puts us in that well. Prayer is not a position of your head, but it's a practice of your heart. I talk to my mom sometimes and I call her and I say, Mom, what you doing? You know what she told me the other day? She's 85 years old. And She loves the Word of God. She loves reading it. And she told me the other day, she said, I've read through the Word of God 82 times. She said, I'm not saying that braggadocious. She said, I'm just telling you what God's allowed me to do in my life. She said, I've read it through 82 times. And she said, I was praying. She said, I was hoping that I'd be able to read it through the number of years that I am old. She said, but I don't think I'm going to be able to make it through that many times, John. She said, my eyes are getting dim and can't see like I could. She said, but one thing I can still do. She said, I can still pray. You know what she told me this morning, Brother David? I was talking to her on the way to church this morning. She said, I prayed for you and Brother David this morning. Just knowing that we have access to the throne and heart of God. It ought to compel every one of us just to fall on our knees and say, oh God, and get real with Him. You see, Jonah thought he could just run around and flit around in this thing called Christianity, but God put him in his school to show him the realness of God. The reaction of Jonah, prayer became real to him, but the refinement of Jonah while he was in that whale. I noticed some things as I was coming through these verses, and I just want to highlight them to you, and then we'll give an invitation. I thought about the schooling of Jonah. Lord, what are you teaching Jonah while you've got him in this whale? His experience, he experienced this whale. And you know, sometimes we say, well, experience is the greatest teacher. You know what the greatest teacher is? The Word of God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just simply read this, believe this, apply this, and obey this? Wouldn't that be wonderful? I mean, if all of us would just read it and say, oh, I'm with you, Lord. I apply that to my life. You know, hit the apply button and I'm going to be obedient the rest of my life. But if we've all got this nature about us, that God just has to give us an experience. And he's experiencing something while he's in this whale. And I noticed some things that Jonah learned in this school. Some of the subjects that he took proved this to Jonah. In verse number 3, he found out that God was in control. You know, notice what he said in verse number 3. He said, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas. Now, I want you to bear with me just a minute, because I believe we got all something we could learn right here. I want you to look back in chapter 1 and verse number 15 and look at this and compare Scripture with Scripture, and let's learn something from the Lord. In chapter 1 and verse 15, it says, so they, the mariners, took up Jonah and they cast him forth into the sea. But when Jonah got in that school, he said, God, it was you that put me where I'm at. You know, a lot of times we waste a lot of our life by being mad at this one or that one for the outcome of our lives. We get mad at this one, we get mad at that one. Oh, Jonah could have said, those mariners, those sailors, they threw me in this sea. And now I'm where I'm at. Look where I'm at. But he looked up to God and he said, God, you're the one that put me here. And I believe the lesson for every one of us to learn is God is in control. God's in control of your well experiences. God's in control of everything that we go through. It does not matter. It does not matter. The thing that matters the most of all is that God is in control of our life. It's God that let me be here. It's God that put me here. That's what Job found out in his life. He said, the Lord gave, the Lord took, take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all these things, Job sinned not with his lips, nor charge God foolishly. We'll blame men. We'll blame the devil. The devil. The devil did this in my life. Now, somewhere in all of our lives, we've got to turn our face toward God and say, God, for some reason, you've got me in this well. For some reason, you put me in this school. And God, I want to learn about you while I'm here. Another thing that he learned, in verse number 4, then I said, I'm cast out of thy sight, semicolon, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The second thing that Jonah learned is, while God's around, there's always hope for us. You ever felt like you were going under? You ever felt like this is it? This is at the end. I'm never going to see daylight again. I'm never going to see the sunshine again. I'm never going to get there again with God. But can I remind you, as Sister Marlena sing for sometimes with the choir, He'll do it again. Yes, He'll do it again. He'll do it again. He'll touch you again. He'll use you again. He's God. He's your God. And He will do it again in your life. He's not just the God of second chances. He's the God of the third, fourth, fifth, 110,000 chances. And He has let me come through a bunch of them. With God, there's always hope. Another thing he learned while he was in there, verse 5 and 6, the waters compassed me. Verse 6, I went down to the bottoms. The earth with the bars was about me forever. Without God, we're sunk. I wish others were enjoying this as much as I am. I'm learning something out of the life of Jonah. Without God, we are sunk. Without Him, we can do nothing. Without Him, we are nothing. And this is just some things that Jonah learned in his school. Verse number 7, he learned this, that God still listens to our prayers. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee. Sometimes the devil will make you believe a lie, that God ain't listening to you. And God ain't interested in your little prayer no more. That's a lie out of the pits of hell. God still listens to the prayers of His people. He has promised, call unto me and I will, not I might, but I will answer thee. Something else that he learned, and here's where I want to wind up tonight. In verse number 8, he said, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. You know what he said? He said, I've been living a lie. He said, my life has just been a life of lies. And I've listened to the lies and I believe that I could live the lies. But I realize that living a lie, I have forsaken my own mercy. What were some of the lies that Jonah was living and believing and living in his life? He believed that he could run from God. And everything would be all right. That's a lie. You can't run from God and everything be all right. He believed that he could ignore reality and sleep it all away. That's a lie. We cannot ignore reality of our Christian walk with God and just sleep it away. He believed that he could shirk his responsibilities and still enjoy life. And that's a lie. We cannot shirk our responsibility as the children of God and still enjoy. Some of the most miserable Christians on planet Earth are those that are living for themselves. And they're forsaking their own mercies. And here's the biggest lie that Jonah believed. That God's will does not matter. The most important thing in this room tonight is the will of God for every one of our lives. Does not matter tonight what we think about it, what we desire. God's will is the most important thing in this room tonight. When we run from God, we forsake our own mercy. Jonah sought the ship and he got the storm. Jonah chased his will and he got hail. He ran from a pleading God and ran into a punishing God. And he was worried that Nineveh would find mercy, and Jonah found wrath. He forsook, by living lies, he forsook his own mercy. Then this is the final thing that he learned. He learned that salvation was of the Lord. Old Mays Jackson used to say that that whale was a liberal. He said as soon as Jonah said salvation is of the Lord, that whale spit him out. Didn't even like that in his mouth. He found out that salvation is of the Lord. Jonah reaped his waywardness. But Jonah repented. You know what the cure for any one of us is tonight? And I don't mean to be crass. I don't mean to be oversimplistic tonight. But the cure for any one of us in this room tonight is repentance. If we just simply repent, the whale would spit us out. And we'd be a far better off after going through God's school of whale. You know what Joppa means? Joppa means beautiful. But you know what Nineveh means? Nineveh means agreeable. Jonah wanted to run to the beautiful things. But God wanted him to go to the agreeable things of God. Joppa is what we pick out. Nineveh is what God picks out. Joppa is what we desire. Nineveh is what God desired. Joppa is our choice. Nineveh is God's choice. I wrote this down, and it's just been a thing that I've had in different notes of different sermons down through the years. But it makes a whole lot of sense to me. The greatest choice any child of God could ever make in his life is to let God choose for him. You want me to say it again? Just so we all get it tonight. The greatest choice any child of God could ever make in our lives is letting God choose for us. God's school. Jonah's school. My school. I'd rather learn from God than I had from the world. I'd rather get a PhD in God's school of whale than I had from the best schools that America or this world's got to offer. Because when God teaches you, you'll be far better off, and so will everybody around you be. Let's all stand.